Did Scopely pull a bait on switching us? How exciting is this 5th anniversary celebration milestone gonna be? And what else is revealed in these data mines? We're talking about all of these things and the rest of Update 7.0 in this edition of your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. This week, I am joined by my brother, Mobile Gamer. And if you're ready for it, brother Mobile Gamer, tell him what to do.
Let's go smash it.
Yeah.
Alley Flyer.
Hello, hello, hello. What is up, Valley Maniacs? Welcome back to this edition of your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. This is the 200th edition of the Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. We do this every week, except when we're on vacation and I have no good internet connection. But if this is your first time here, hit that subscribe button for more great Marvel Strike Force content, at least 5 Marvel Strike Force videos per week on this channel. But without further ado, let's talk about everything going on in Marvel Strike Force with my brother, Mobile Gamer. It has been a while since I have talked to you. How are you doing, brother Mobile Gamer?
I'm doing amazing. Yourself?
I am doing well. So I guess I did want to talk about what we need to hoard and remind everybody, if you're listening to the podcast version of this, give it a great review on whatever platform you're listening to. And there are timestamps down below because we have a lot of things to discuss. Now, what are you hoarding this week, Mobile Gamer?
Well, it looks like you've got the data mines there from Tana, right? There's going to be a strike celebration, which starts on March 25th. And we've got power cores and raid energy.
Yes. And we also have more data mines for another event. We don't have a date for that. So you got to spend, save campaign energy and your blitz energy because you're going to have to blitz for this next event. So just save everything, guys. And who knows whatever the unannounced things we have coming up. So that is what you should hoard: power cores, raid energy, campaign energy, and your blitz energy. All right, but before we get to the rest of everything going on, I just want to talk to you. How are you feeling about Marvel Strike Force right now and the direction of the game, things that have been going on, some of the recent communication that we've gotten from the devs? How optimistic are you of the future of Marvel Strike Force right now?
I'm not really thrilled with the state of the events. It seems like ever since Thanosgiving, the events have been more blatantly become offers. Now they're gatekeeping certain events to whether or not you have the character unlocked, like you paid for the character. They're needlessly complicated, and you have to either scour through data mines and scour through, spreadsheets to understand them and to play them optimally. You need to be hoarding and not hoarding, and then or you don't worry about it and spend money. I mean, it seems like it's weird that this game has become this.
Yeah, and what do you think it needs to be done to increase the fun level? I can only speak for myself. I'm not having as much fun as I was in the past in Marvel Strike Force. What do you think it needs to do to increase that fun level? And can it be fixed? Is this in a place that is irreversible at this point?
Well, I see Marvel Strike Force as two things. I mean, the core of the game is a hero collector. And so there's a certain amount of fun in acquiring characters, upgrading them and building them and upgrading the ones that you want. When that becomes not fun is when the agency is stripped and you're forced to upgrade certain characters or characters you don't like. But there is a process that is generally rewarding in just collecting and upgrading heroes. And then there's the actual gameplay. Now, hoarding things and spreadsheets and events that are not completable at all unless you spend money is not fun.
Yeah, I agree. And so hopefully we can see a direction, the change in direction of this game, making milestones more completable, making it a little less grindy, making the emphasis more on fun. Now, one thing that they did do recently, and I guess this is a good thing, but they could have done this in so many different ways. Catch-up offers, the catch-up mechanics. We've been asking for that for a while. They did introduce that yesterday with these time heist offers, and there's some good things about this that I like. There's some bad things that I like about this that I don't like, but it's based on your commander level. If we go into the game right now, we see based on time heist 80, it's a pretty good deal if you don't have these characters built up, but the problem is if you are a brand new player, you have to go through all of these other ones and spending a bunch of money. Do you think this is a positive, a negative? They could have done this better. What did you think of this when you saw this yesterday, these time heist offers?
Well, the one thing that I do appreciate about this, and this is going to sound strange, is that It's optional, and it's not a no-brainer for everybody to buy this. So, you know, I don't feel like there's going to be like this part of the community that largely is free to play or looks at a $100 offer, and there's not like insane amount of value in this. Like if you already are beyond level 80, I mean, I did a poll on Twitch yesterday, and like it was like 94% of the people were above level 80. So I feel like this offer and where there is a lot of value is to the people that are not level 80. You know, if you're at level 10, you can buy your way all the way up to level 80 for what, $300 and something, $335. And the value is there. And then also, if you're a big spender, you can buy it just for the gold, basically. You know, the top row of rewards, when you click on the button, you know, you've got gold training mats, gold promotion credits. I mean, that top row right there, some people will value that at $100, and they will buy all the offers just for that. But you know, there, it's interesting. Like the characters there that you have with the chevrons, like you have some of the Black Orders, yeah, you know, I don't know if that would be that interesting. Now, if you had Infinity Watch or the very rightmost teams, you know, which had the Kestrel, and there were going to be significant upgrades to them, I could see that being attractive. One person was showing me that, you know, that buying this allowed them to get an extra star on Icarus. You know, they only had a 5 red Icarus, and then they're getting an extra yellow star. They actually had the 7 yellow. They actually had the 6 red, so they would not, you know, they already had opened a 6 red star on him, and so that would, by buying this $100 offer, would, you know, basically get them the 6 yellow, and that would be a big boost.
Yeah, for some people, this is an amazing deal. And you said it's about $300 to get from like level 0 all the way to level 80.
Yeah, $335. Yeah,
$335. Star Wars: Galaxy of Heroes had something similar to this, and that would get you a lot of progress. A little cheaper than this. Do you
feel a lot like cheaper than this? A lot cheaper. Like, and also,
what was the price there, and how does that compare with this?
Well, they changed the price, but what initially came out was $100. Another thing too is that their offer, when it came out, it had items that typically were not for sale. And so the value there was still worth $100, even if you didn't do the upgrades, right, or didn't care about the upgrades, because there were things. So like, imagine that there was only one offer for $100. It took everything, not, you know, all the characters up,
all of it.
And it was just $100. And let's say it had like 1,000 dark promotion credits. You know what I mean? Which is valuable, right? Like 1,000 dark, you know, it's like people would buy it just for the dark promotion credits because they're largely expensive and not really available, and all the gold. So this is just way more expensive. It's not even close, actually.
I think it's a good start. I like that they offer this. I think it's way too expensive for where we are in the game right now. This is a 5-year-old game, and just playing catch up to get with players that, I mean, this is what, 2 patches ago. We're at level 95 level cap. So I don't know. They could have done this better. I do like that they did this, but yeah, they could have done a lot better. Now, one big thing that did not get announced, I didn't notice about this, know about this tomorrow, and before we started recording, this was unannounced milestones. These Unstoppable Force, you did not see these previously, correct?
No, right, and it's a bonus event, and you know, bonus stuff is bonus stuff. It looks like you get points for what, blitzing, raiding, and arena battles.
Pretty much everything, all the stuff, and just doing activity is a long milestone as well. So pretty much this is free stuff. I like this. Why do you think this was unannounced? There's a lot of negative feedback towards Marvel Strike Force right now. This is an easy win for them. Why do you think they didn't announce this?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. I mean, I have we had a blog post that was accurate the first time it was posted? Or, I mean, how many of them are altered? I think there's like a 90% alteration or error rate on publish a blog post when it comes to specifically events. Like 90% of them are wrong or omission or just some data. I mean, we even had like the Union Jack date in last Friday's blog post was altered yesterday. It's a pretty consistent thing. I mean, They should rename the blog post to subject to change, you know, put it in bigger letters at the top. I mean, they kind of hide it at the bottom because it will subject to change. No, will be changed. It's not subject. It's going to be changed.
That was something introduced last year as well during since Thanosgiving, the subject to change. We would always be holding them to the blog post and they introduced that. And I guess now that's just commonplace for them. All right. So one thing that happened since the last time we did a news video is we had an update drop. Unfortunately, I was away and my internet was very bad, so I couldn't do a news video, but I do want to talk to you about it. Your overall thoughts on update 7.0. There's some changes for the positive, some changes for the negative. We're gonna get specifically into these changes for Cosmic Crucible in just a little bit, but your overall feeling of this update, is this a good thing so far? Are you enjoying this so far?
I think we could talk about the room bonuses. I think the room bonuses are problematic, what they did specifically here, and I think it will continue to be problematic. And it also was problematic in the past, but it didn't really, you know, to the extent of it, wasn't realized until now.
All right, well, let's talk about these room bonuses. I mean, it seems like it's a bait and switch. We had this team that we got, the Masters of Evil, that was supposed to be the ultimate Cosmic Crucible team. Every time they were talking about this Cosmic Crucible team, they said, oh, they're going to be great in Cosmic Crucible, and you could use them to unlock Quicksilver in Cosmic Crucible. And they're also supposed to be a legendary unlock. So now that we have this, under these Masters of Evil are not able to take out Tangled Web in Room 5. They still are able to take out the Wakandans in Room 6. Is this a bait and switch? I mean, they weren't specifically built as a team to take out the Tangled Web. They were specifically built as a Crucible team. So is this a bait and switch in your opinion? I mean, it feels scummy, but is this a bait and switch?
I don't know what bait and switch means, but I think it showcases their intentions. Their intentions is that they want to create a problem, a problematic room, a problematic team, and then sell a solution. And they had tried doing that already with Masters of Evil. They created a problem, sold us a solution, then made the solution different and made the problem harder and switched it around. So for sure, they just want to sell us whatever they're selling us next, new warriors or whatever.
I guess the issue, I mean, they've done that with pretty much everything, right? Create a problem, sell the solution later. I think the reason this feels different this time is this solution is not even fully out yet, and they're creating a new problem. I mean, free-to-play players were not able to access Moonstone before we got these changes to the Cosmic Crucible. And I think that's why for a lot of players it feels different. Is that why it's different for you, or is it something else that makes this one feel different?
Well, it was very much their intent from the start. If you know, before this change was implemented, stage 5 explicitly said that the room was going to be changed. So this was their plan from the beginning. I forgot about that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, this was their plan from the beginning. So like they basically did not change room 5 until you were fully purchased your Masters of Evil. Then once you fully purchased your Masters of Evil, they unveiled the true plan for room 5.
That's even worse. I totally forgot that they put something to change. I'm even more upset about this now.
Explicitly on room 5. Room 5 said more things are going to happen here. This room is going to change. It said that room 5 was going to change. And it's not a change that encourages theory crafting or being a smart player. No, basically, you know, you put this team here on room 5. Ooh, oopsies. Dark Hold was too strong on room 6. We need to put a nerf in place so that you won't want to use Darkhold in room 6, as you know, because that way they didn't want that to happen either. Now you're kind of forced to use the Master of Evil in room 6 rather than where everybody wanted to use them, which was in room 5. So it feels like agency is stripped. You know, putting this team here in room 5 is the only thing to do, the smart thing to do, right? I mean, you could do other things, but it's not going to be as efficient. Same thing in room 6. And there are some ways of getting through room 5, sure, but, you know, they're going to give us an easy solution, I'm guessing, with New Warriors. And it's just that, you know, a lot of people thought that solution was going to be Masters of Evil, and you nope, that's not what it's going to be. It's I guess that's called bait and switch. I mean, their intent was to do this from the start, just because it clearly stated Room 5 that they were going to change that room to something else. You know, last month, you know, it said that.
I totally forgot about that. I thought this was just reactionary, which is also bad. But yeah, that's even worse. I'm very upset about this. But how are you dealing with this room right now in Room 6? Are there any good counters to Tangleweb that you are using? I've been using a lot of mirror matches here.
Yeah.
These are teams that have worked for me in the past. This team didn't work today, but it's worked in the past. This team with the Undying and Apocalypse work today pretty easily as well. What are you using? Are you taking them off of defense doing the mirror matches? Are you using some other teams? I've heard Apocalypse Darkhold works, but it's not very consistent. What are you doing in this? Are you placing them on defense? And
yeah, I've got them on defense. And then my opponents, you know, sometimes they get through, sometimes they don't. I don't have a good strategy for this room yet. Like, I haven't found one that's working well for me, to be honest.
The only thing that has worked for me is placing these guys on offense and doing some kind of
mirror
match type thing. So that's what's working for me. If there's anything working for you guys that you could still place them on defense and it still is effective, let me know. But I think this is, you know, using them, keeping them for offense, they handle this team is probably the best right now. Now, we did get these new warrior teased in this next update. One of them was Firestar. She is going to be one of these new warriors added to the game. What is your hype level for her?
I got a full stop here. I just want to back up a little bit. I'm still... No, you're good. You're good. I want to go back to what we were talking about. Like, these room bonuses. I just want to go back to it. At times, I have no hype for Firestar. Because I'm sure it's going to work out great. They created a problem. It's going to work. Like, so what? It's just like my interest level is negative on this. Like, it's just like, there's a lot of things in this game that I think are kind of a scam, like raid bonuses. Like, well, they create the rooms, you know, so what does it matter if XYZ character gets 1000% X damage, you know, in a raid bonus room, because then they just build the room harder. What does it matter, right? Like, it doesn't matter at all. And it's because the bonus only applies. Like, raid bonuses are a complete scam. Well, and now they're doing it with Crucible, right? They're doing it with Crucible. Now, before it was kind of hard to do with Crucible because you were playing against somebody else. But no, what if next month they say aim minions get 1000% percent 1000% damage on defense, right? Or 1000% stat boost across the board. And then you go, oh, I have to just build up aim. And then they sell a team that has an anti-aim mechanic in it. I mean, how is that different than what they're doing? And then it's temporary, and then it disappears, and then it's gone. And so this was that way before. Like, last Cosmic Crucible, which was really long, you know, had, what, Hero Mutants, right?
Yeah. Because Unlimited sucked. In the beginning, they had to rework like 4 or 5 times before they finally were a strong team in Cosmic Crucible, and then they gave him even more bonuses. Yeah. Well,
how many people upgraded those tier 2 hero mutants, like, you know, like Uncanny X-Men? Like, people just for its temporary bonus, so they can going forward. They can give some extreme, weird, temporary room bonus to anything that they want you to buy or upgrade, and then it's done.
So what does that make you feel about Firestar? Are you going to skip her because she could be negated easily? Or what are we going to do with this character?
So
because
this is
specifically a Crucible.
Yeah, it's the same thing as raids, basically. Do you skip raid characters? You have to buy them. They're going to make the room work only for the team that they're going to sell you. It's kind of the same thing with Firestar.
Eventually, the new solution, and these are going to be obsolete. So,
that's the difference, though. Raids, okay, how quickly are they cycling through raid teams now, right? And, you know, like if we look at how long the symbiotes and then how long the Web Warriors, and now we have Rebirth, right? So it's a temporary solution. Now they found a faster way of cycling through teams through room bonuses.
Doesn't leave me very optimistic, mobile gamer.
Yeah, I'm not excited about it. It's like if you want to play Cosmic Crucible, and then they're going to make you want to play Cosmic Crucible because that's going to be Quicksilver, right? So,
yeah.
And with raids, it's the same thing. You want to play it because you want the rewards, right? You want to help out your alliance. Well, they're going to do the same thing here. And the problem is like same thing with raid teams. It's temporary. We have a Doom raid now. We're going to have an Apocalypse raid next, and then we're going to have a Galactus raid after that. You know, it's just like all of your raid teams are going to be useless when the new raid comes out. It's just a faster cycle on room bonuses, and it's going to cycle out even quicker, and the teams are going to cycle out even faster and faster.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the faster cycles that is upsetting me, because this is not something new. They've done this in the past, and it hasn't felt as bad. Now it seems like it's going quicker. We're cycling through these faster. They're getting obsolete a lot quicker. So we also got the bonuses to the rest of these new wars, and I guess that's not as bad, as because that's not a new team we have to build. That's a team that we've had built for the raids already. What do you think of these changes to the new wars? Has it affected your Crucible matches at all?
It's been a cleanup team. I definitely have been able to put more heavy of a defense, put more horseman teams on defense, knowing that I have new warriors kind of as a backup plan to take out things. So I think that the extent of my excitement is going to be is like, how useful are these teams going to be outside of raids? Are they going to be able to be used in other game modes, or are they just going to be a Crucible only thing? Just like I just hope that the game is not heading in a direction where raid teams are just raid teams and Crucible teams are just Crucible teams. And then they're not really, you know, it just kind of feels bad when they do that.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the other thing that we got in this update that I haven't discussed with you yet is these new hard node chapters. And if you see, I didn't do heroes any of these yet, because there's no characters that I need, and there's a little more expensive. What do you think of cost of this here? Instead of 12 energy, it's now 15 energy. Instead of 10 attempts, it's now 8 attempts. What do you think of them adding it like this?
So I'm a little bit curious about this. So it's still the same amount of total energy, right?
Yes, but you're getting less attempts. Instead of 10 attempts, you're only getting 8 attempts on these. And then on the big nodes, instead of the 5 attempts, you're getting 4 attempts.
You just get the same amount of gold.
Is it the same amount of points and everything?
Yeah, I like. What if they made it one attempt and it cost 120 energy? How would that be different?
I guess. So I didn't look at the exact calculations, but you're saying the exact when you calculate it, it's evens out.
Yeah, from what I see, it's just a ratio. Okay. So would people be more happy if it was 120 attempts at one energy per node? And then they just lowered the numbers. Like, I don't know. I guess I don't understand what the concern is on that.
I think most people like myself didn't do the calculations and see if it's the same or not, you know, per energy, you know what I mean? Instead of per attempt, per energy. So
yeah, like I haven't done all the math on it, but I was looking at the gold, like the ratio on gold. The gold is the same.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe it's not as good on gear, not as good on the character shards. I can understand that, but as far as like the actual like other gold stuff, you know, gold and whatever it comes in, it's the same.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the shards and the gear. The more attempts will get you more good attempts. I guess it depends on RNG, right? Because if you get one good attempt on your big pull, you'll get a lot more, but if you get a bad attempt, you'll get a lot less. But I guess with the RNG, it probably evens out over time.
Well let's just take it, they're starting to introduce variable amounts of pieces. So let's say you're looking for what the focused teal catalyst, right? That's like one that's people often need, you know,
the red one,
right? And so some of the nodes have 4 and some of the nodes have 3 and then some of them have 2, right? And they usually give you one really good node, and then it starts, like, if you just, that's all you care about for the day, you get like this diminishing returns. Yeah. And so it's, I don't know that this is as big as a deal as just a number, though.
if this is not a negative, is this a positive thing that we're getting more farmability? I mean,
I know there's
she was unfarmable before.
Yeah, there's 16 pieces in there. For example, like if you're upgrading Apocalypse, you know, they were unfarmable before, and now they're farmable. Some of the gear tier 16 pieces.
Okay, so I guess this is more a positive thing. I was looking at the energy that temps, but if it all equals out, then I guess it's a good thing.
I need to look at the math, but I feel like people just look at the number. I mean, I guess it's like
I just looked at the temps, honestly. I was like, this is not good.
It feels like a stock split. You know, people are like, oh, stock split. You know, it's nothing, right? It's they could make it just because you have 10 times more shares or whatever. What does it matter? You know, I feel like this is just like, and I don't know why they needed to do this, but they like to convolute everything. So.
Yeah, gotcha. I was so convoluted. I wasn't sure what to make of this. All right, next thing. We got to claim all for the milestones. I like this, but I guess I couldn't find this initially because to have this on, you need to have your Alliance chat on or some of your chat on. And I didn't have that on. Where did you? Do you normally have your chat on? Because I normally keep that off because I don't want things flashing across the screen when I'm recording something. So did you notice this at first or did you not because the chat wasn't on?
I have no access to this.
Okay. It is down here. If you turn the chat on, it's let me remove you real quick. It's right there behind where you are. So, but you do need the chat on for having that to have that.
I have chat turned off. So I have no access to that.
All right. Let's talk about the new team, the controversial team, the invaders that we're going to need for an upcoming event that was data mined. So what are your thoughts on this team? Have you used them on the test server? Have you used a partial team in the raids yet? What are your thoughts on this invader team for the skill section?
All right. So I've used Nick Fury and Captain America on the skill nodes, and they are very good. The thing that's very good about Captain America World War II is his passive stop summons when there's four invaders. Well, Nick Fury summons and those count as invaders, so you're able to use Captain America's passive now today. And so I've had good luck with Nick Fury, Captain America World War II, and then Shang-Chi, Kestrel, and Captain America Sam Wilson on 3.5. It's actually pretty easy. I think the controversy about this and the Rebirth team is the upcoming event and giving bonus points for using this team and the Rebirth team. But not everybody's going to have equal access to the lanes, and your Alliance members are going to have to fight over who has the lane, you know, because certain nodes in the Gambit are going to be able to give one person in your Alliance more points than you than if you have the lane that doesn't have these characters available. So it creates this really weird situation where a lot of Alliances are going to have to drop down to like Ultimus raids.
Our Alliance was talking about dropping down as well. event.
Yeah, if you can't, you know, if you get points for using Rebirth or this team right here, but you can't use them in this node, but half of the Alliance can, and you're in the half that can't, that's really stupid. It's really stupid.
Why would they design an event like this? I mean, are they that starved for money? Are their jet payments so high that they need to like squeeze every little bit out of all these characters for us? I mean, what are you doing with this team right now? I mean, are you building them right now for this event? It is still a data mine, so it's not official yet. But usually, when data mines come out, they're usually locked.
Well, this is at the end of the week, though, right? This is soon, right?
Two days.
This is just in a couple days, and we've asked for information about this. Like, are you sure you want to run the Gambit raids at the same time as this? And then people in the leftmost lane can use these teams and get more points than the people in the rightmost lane. I mean, why do it that way? Why, you know, what your Alliance leader decides they get the points and they can take the leftmost lanes? I don't understand why they're doing this. Or they decide that they're going to run Gamma and they're going to take the middle lane, which has a lot of way of getting these points. And everybody else, I need the points more than you. I don't understand why. I have no idea why.
What is even a fair way to do that for Alliances if they're dividing the lanes? Maybe one day they're cycling through who gets to do each lane? I mean, and then nobody really gets an efficient score. I mean, it's very weird. So What are you doing with this team now? Because normally I would shelve these teams, right? They're not skippable because they're a raid team. But I would shelve these teams. I would get the gold stars, get the red stars, and start to build these guys later. With the event for Captain America, I've built them up already a little bit. Or would you build these guys now, or just say screw this event? This is a greedy event. Don't need this stuff. I don't care about the Kestrel costume or any of the costumes. Is this something you would build them for? Is this worth building for? Or is this something you just don't even care about?
All right. So it's the same thing as the rebirth. People, you know, same question, same answer, right? Is the rebirth. The rebirth, you know, rebirth came out and everybody's like, do I really need this team? Can I shelve them? Do I have to build them up? You know, my web warriors work fine. Why do I need this? Well, to the extent that people don't upgrade them and don't use them, somebody over there has a spreadsheet and it's like, well, they didn't upgrade this team. Let's stick it to them in an event. You know what I mean? And that's what's going to happen, you know, or, you know, you're going to have to upgrade this team one way or another when the new whatever Doom raid comes out. I don't know what they're going to call it, an apocalypse raid. I don't even know what it's called, but you're going to have to do this team eventually, no matter what, because the new raid is going to be designed only to be beaten with this team. I mean, the PvE content is crafted specifically for this team, for you to barely be able to beat it with this and this only team. Like, you have no choice, right?
So I guess the difference with this rebirth, Web War, some other teams is we have an event for this right now.
Yes.
Is it worth building them right now because of the event, or just is the event not even important? Or should
well,
we
the event's in the data mines.
Should we wait to see?
Don't even know if it's worth it. We don't know what the rewards are, right? We don't just even skip. Have a. Yeah, I don't know. Well. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like any time that anybody suggests skipping something, then you're held accountable for like the rewards lost. I have no idea. Like, we'll find out, right?
All right. So, are you putting more into them based on a data mine, or are you gonna wait to see when this comes official? I mean, they're not giving us a lot of lead time with this.
I rarely react because of events anymore. Okay. I just don't care.
There's too many of them.
Yeah, there's too many of them, and the rewards are weird. And, you know, I look at these events now as bonus stuff. I'm going to play the game the way I want to play the game and do what I normally do. And if I get some bonus stuff out of it, cool. If not, you know, it's like, I guess I wasn't supposed to get it. You know, like, I can't, like, I mean, if I obsessed about every little thing and upgraded everything, then I would be spending thousands of dollars a month. And I think that's the plan and why they do it this way.
Yeah, that FOMO. I think I agree with you. You know, when I was on vacation last week, I was not really focused on the milestones, looking at spreadsheets. I was just playing this game. And, you know, if I got stuff, cool. If I didn't, sucked. But, you know, I'd rather just have fun with it. And I had more fun last week just playing casually than, you know, chasing all this stuff. So, yeah, I would agree. Just play the game normally. Now, the other character coming in this update, not just the invaders, is Quicksilver. Now, he's supposed to be this plug-and-play character. Looks very, very good. I mean, people were arguing that upon Apocalypse's release before his rework, he's actually better than Apocalypse. What do you think of this character? And they say he is going to be released through Cosmic Crucible. How do you think exactly he's going to be released through Cosmic Crucible? Because we've never had a Cosmic Crucible release character yet. Is he just going to be added to the store there? We could buy him with shards, or we're going to get specific tokens? Or how do you think they're going to do this?
I would bet money, and I'm not a gambling man, that he will not be available through existing currency. And the existing currency that is being used, they will not work. This will 1000% be some sort of new currency. Nobody is getting this guy based off of hoarding today for free or anything like that. I mean, they just don't do that in this game. You know what I mean? So, and then another thing too is, mark my words, you know, some sort of room bonus, and you know, in room 4, you know, will be unbeatable unless you have Quicksilver. That'll be coming too.
I'm looking forward to getting this character. I'm not sure how he's gonna be thought. I'm sure it's gonna be a little trickle, kind of like we have it with Mr. Negative or Hulk or something like that. I'm sure players are going to be able to unlock him by spending a lot of money, but most players, I think it's going to be like a slow trickle. This is what I'm expecting for Quicksilver, but yeah, it looks very, very good. I like his animations. This would be a strong plug and play character.
I mean, part of me wishes that he would be, you know, somewhat exclusive. You can only get him by, performing well in Cosmic Crucible, but I promise you it'll be offers. I mean, they sell, they're basically, you're selling legendaries now with Morgan Le Fay and all that. I mean, they're shameless on selling things. And, you know, why not sell Apocalypse shards? I have no idea. I mean, maybe that'll be the next thing they do. I have no idea.
They haven't yet. They've sold all the other horsemen. They probably will sometime. All right, so we talked about the Gambit raids returning, and you know, outside of this data mines, you know, and having to use the invaders and the rebirth team, what do you think of these Gambit raids returning? I mean, people, there was a lot of aspects that I liked about it the first time. I thought there was some good things, and they kept a lot of those things. The things that I didn't like were they had being tied to the milestones, the limited traits for each section. They switch some of those. So is this, with regardless of the data mines, is this something that you're looking forward to when you saw this announcement?
Okay, let's back up. The Gambit raids on the first version was a train wreck. It was truly awful. It was convoluted and complicated. You had to use a random team that you didn't get to choose that were non-raid characters, and you had the four traits, right? The ace, clubs, whatever, you know, the clubs, spades, and it was stuff that was terrible, right? And you had to upgrade them. And then you had, so you couldn't build your own team. You had to do, well, this is the clubs, right? Then you had random lanes with random characters for your team selection. Then you had changing room bonuses, and then the
I did like that part. I like that changing room bonuses, though. It made it different each time.
Well, no, but every leg of the race for every person was a little bit different, and then you had random teams every day.
I did like that part, though. I did like that randomness of it.
Yeah, but it was too much. So they eliminated a lot of it. So for the first thing that they've done that make this better, because I thought this was horrible. The first thing that they done that made this better was that they actually made the teams good. You know, so like the clubs team, whatever, they're actually useful teams now. They're not weird.
The second version, remember the first version was all bad characters, and then we complained that they gave us some better characters. It wasn't like it is now, but I thought that it got fun.
Yeah, and then now they've made the enemies not randomized every day. Well, they weren't randomized. There was three variations.
I like that part too, though. I did like that part.
Why?
I like the random. I wanted to fight the raids. It wasn't the same raid. It wasn't the same Doom raid every single day. It was slightly different with different bonuses, different characters. I did like that.
Well, go up. You must have not had that club lane. Right there. I mean, I can't, you know, the C.
I actually did have the clubs. It was good when they added the dab.
Not the club, the spade, the spain, though. The C14. Look at that one right there. C14, go up. C14, right? Yeah, you must have not
I was on the right side. I was on the right side.
Yeah, you must have not had that room where it was basically unbeatable. Like it was a disaster the way they did it, and you notice it's not even symmetrical. If you look at that C14, it doesn't mirror the other side like the I14, right? See how it's not symmetrical. It's just weird.
One here and two. Yeah, that's weird. That's weird.
It was bad. Like I don't know. I didn't think the first version.
Maybe it was because I was on the right side and not a left side. That's why I enjoyed a little more.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I don't know. All right, but they're returning it and they're removing some of this stuff. Again, regardless of the data mines, because the data mines make it kind of suck. But what do you think of this? If the data mines don't go through?
Okay, so I think all of this is fine. They made two drastic improvements to this that, you know, we talked about. The teams that you could use are actually useful, and they eliminated the randomness of the teams. The only thing that's weird is that it runs concurrent with an event where you get extra points for using rebirth, which is going to favor the person in the leftmost lane, which I don't understand that part. Other than that, I think it's probably fine.
Yeah. What do you think of the rewards? The Cajun Orb, Gambit's been farmable in the Cosmic Crucible store for a while. Is this more just bringing this event back as it was with some changes, or should this have been more for players that really want to push on this?
Well, it's just going to be bonus stuff, right? You know, like it's an extra event. So like, I don't think anything can hurt.
And did they say they're running this in addition to Doom and the Greeks, or is this instead of one of those?
I don't know. I thought it was just going to be an extra one. Like, so we'd be running three raids at the same time.
I thought it was as well. So hopefully that's exactly how it is. All right. We got some events going on in the game right now. One is for Moonstone, one ending today for Hulk. What did you think of the Luck of Spring and these To the Moon events? This one, the Luck of Spring, you had to spend campaign energy spend cords to do your alliance donations if you wanted to get the Hulk event, and then for the To the Moon, a lot of blitzing or using Cosmic Crucible characters if you or the Masters of Evil in Cosmic Crucible. What do you think of both of these events, and could they have been better?
So I actually was favorable towards the To the Moon, if that's a thing, like where there was three different ways of approaching that event or some sort of combination. You know, if you wanted to be super sweaty and blitz all the time, if you wanted to spend power cores on your ISO energy, then that's fine. Or if you up, you know, your Mega Kraken and you upgrade your Masters of Evil Cosmic Cruel to gear tier 16, then you could do that. So I felt like that, you know, between the three different avenues, you know, you could finish the event. You could kind of do it at your own pace. You could do it the way that you want to do it. I would prefer that they design events like this in the future going forward.
Now, what did you? Now, I do agree with you. I did like that you have three paths that you could do. You could lean real hard into one, or you could do a combination. The thing that I'm questioning a little bit is the amount of shards that we get for Moonstone in this. It's, you know, I remember back in the day we used to get a lot of shards for characters on their release events. Now, not as much. What do you think of the actual shards that we got for Moonstone and this as a release method for this character?
Well, it was 150 shards, right?
Yeah, I think we used to get a lot more earlier.
All the events are worse. All the events are worse. Basically, I mean, it's not even what they want for people to do. It's not even it's blatant right now. I think the real problem is not this event. The problem is the event before, like the King event and the World War II event. Basically, you can only do the event if you have King unlocked. You could only do the event if you have Captain America World War II unlocked. So, you know, those are the biggest issue. And then, you know, the less sharp. I mean, basically, they're saying buy the characters when they come out, and there's no free ride anymore. So I don't understand why they're squeezing the non-spenders in this game. You know, like I feel like. Like players are entrenched in their spending patterns, and like I don't think this is converting any free-to-play players into spenders, so why penalize them? I don't understand why they're on a mission to screw over free-to-play players and deplete their power cores and make them spend power cores on events and you know, no more hoarding of your arena things, and I just don't understand their intent.
Well, I had a video yesterday. I talked about the real problem in the game, and I was talking about how the plan. But I wanted to allude to like the spending these sales targets. I think that they have are way too high, and that's where they're squeezing players like this. You know, they have these sales targets. They're squeezing players for every last dime because they need to hit these sales targets, and players don't like that. They leave. And it's just this endless cycle. So they didn't have to make up these sales targets with the smaller player base, and they squeeze them even more and more players leave. And it just seems like we're in this endless cycle right now. Can they get out of this, removing some of these events, bringing more joy, more fun to the free-to-play players? Or are we caught in this downward cycle that we're just going to keep having these grindy events because they keep chasing players away and there's less players to spend money on this game?
Like from a developer point of view, I can understand a couple things that a lot of people probably wouldn't consider. Like, I think that one of the cardinal sins in being a developer would to allow your Krakens to get bored. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you ever allow that to happen where a Kraken is sitting around is like, I have nothing to do, nothing to get. I have everything. I'm done. I beat the game. I'm going to go play something else. Right. So,
and that was a problem before in Marvel Strike Force. Right?
Yeah. So like, I feel like a lot of the things that people don't like that are like level cap increases or blue stars or red stars or dark promotion credits, they're targeting, you know, the end game mega spender, right? Where so that they're not bored, right? What these other changes that you're mentioning, like, you know, restricting the unlock event to 150 shards, is doing nothing at all to that person. That mega spender already maxed out the character, 7 yellow, 7 red, the day one it came out, gear tier 16 within an hour of release, right?
Yeah.
And so what are they doing? And why? Why are they? They're not. I don't understand why they have to go after the battle pass free to play type spenders and make these events super horrible and super free to play hindered. They're not converting these people to spenders. All they're doing is pushing people out of the game. I don't get it at all.
I mean, it just seems very desperate. Is why I think it seems like they're desperate. They want people to spend. They don't know how to get people to spend, and it seems like desperation. I don't know if they know what the solution is to get, you know, this game to be profitable and fun at the same time. Right. All right, but we talked about this character. This was wrong in the blog post. Union Jack originally said it's supposed to be available on March 22nd. Now got changed to the 24th. Is this the character that you're hyped for? He's one of the damage dealers on the team, but again, on this invader team that may be obsolete very, very soon based on some of the things that they're going. And is this spending event going to entice you to buy this? Or are you going to say, screw this, I don't support this, and I'm going to skip this character? What are you going to do with Union Jack? Are you excited for this character at all?
I'm not excited about him all. I do the same thing on every character, and whether the character is good or bad, it doesn't change my spending patterns.
For the content. Do it for the content.
I buy one character offer, and so they've raised the, you used to be able to get a character offer for what, $25?
$24, $25.
Yeah, $25. Now they've raised it to $59 unless you go to the web store.
Not even, more than double the price.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad when they all started all being $50, and then, you know, then it's like, I just buy one so that I have him. I could make a video. I could show off the animations. Maybe I could do a pre-testing, whatever. It's like, and now it's like, but as far as people that don't do that, like, well, I don't know. Like, Union Jack is a raid character. Like, all of those raid bonuses are more like, I think raid bonuses are a complete scam. I mean, because it's literally, they design the puzzle of the next raid, and it's tuned for this team. So you really don't have a choice. If you want to do well, you're going to have to use this team. All the raid bonuses on Union Jack or any of these invaders teams just basically pushes other characters and other teams out of the picture, so that because the node is going to be designed to be only finished with this team. And yeah. So do you have a choice? Do you need to do it now? Do you have to do it today? Well, I think you play the game the way that you normally do. And I think that there's an opportunity perhaps to shelve this character. So, you know, whatever you normally do when you acquire character shards, some people buy nothing, some people buy everything, some people buy one offer like me. Well, do what did you normally do, right? Do you have to upgrade this character today? Probably not. Like,
really worried about the event. Yeah, but I don't know how valuable that's going to be.
Yeah, so that's where this shelving characters comes into play. Like, people could have shelved the rebirth team, then they probably can shelve this invaders team. Like, I'm not saying neglect the events or you do something different with your spending, but you know, did you really need to upgrade the rebirth immediately, or were you able to ease into it and pivot to it?
I still haven't upgraded my rebirth. My rebirth is not built at all.
Yeah, you don't, and I don't see how this invaders team is going to be any different than rebirth. Now if they see, this is my prediction also, if they see that players are doing this, they're going to create, you know, incentives for people to, you know, events or that bonus the people that did choose to
Captain
upgrade
America
them.
Event, the Kang event, do more of those. Yeah. All right. So I don't know. Well, I guess just play it by ear. If you're going to buy, if you're planning to buy it anyway, do it. If you weren't, then fine. I wouldn't do it for this event. That's been data mined, which is actually our next topic. These data mines here to celebrate the anniversary with this celebration milestone, and you can earn progress again. We talked about this, the Horde Watch, by spending power cores, completing raid battles, and using rebirth or invader characters to earn more points in the 6-day milestone. And what you can get from this is this seems a little confusing, but you're going to get alliance credits. And you could get these costumes for these different orbs here. And I'm not sure how this is actually going to be implemented in the game. What do you think of this event from what we know now from the data mines? It looks like if we scroll all the way to the bottom, looks like you're going to need to upgrade not just these characters, but the raids and having gear on them as well. The good thing is it doesn't say anything about star level, but you will need to gear them if you want to get the max points for this event. Is this something that is appealing to you? Is this something that appeals to you to upgrade your characters?
Yeah, they're basically incentivizing people to acquire every character quickly and upgrade them quickly by making them have, you know, points and things like that when in events. I mean, even right now they're running the Moonstone event, which bonuses people for taking Masters of Evil to gear tier 16. You get more points in Crucible, right? So they're going to continue doing that. This is really not any different than that, really.
Are you going to push for this? Is that Kestrel costume worth it for you, or don't mean much?
Actually, no, I actually kind of like the Kestrel costume. Like I went in and looked at it. I thought it was a reskin, but it's actually pretty good looking. I mean, we didn't talk about it, but you know, what have made me really happy is if the Hulk costume fixed his size problems in the loading screen.
It does in the roster selection tree. I mean, this is a nice looking costume.
Yeah, it's a nice looking costume. Like I actually want that. I at first I was like, oh, it's just a reskin. That's pretty cool. I actually like that.
Yeah, the Nick Fury one looks nice too. I like both of these. But yeah, the Hulk, it sort of fixes problems. He's still small on every other screen, but at least if we go to this screen now, at least he looks normal, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like Hulk, it's in battle, he looks okay. It's mostly in the menu, like before you go into battle. I mean, I saw a screenshot where it just looks like, you know, Abomination and Braun are towering over Hulk. Like, it's just like, I don't understand how. I mean, doesn't Apocalypse look like he has presence, like in loading screens? I don't understand.
They have clipping issues with him, but none of the other characters. I guess because the way his hands are and the other characters. Remember the thing that he was doing with his fingers?
I feel like Hulk, you know, the way that he's standing with his arms out, he's too wide or something. And they need to like make the model narrower so they can make him taller.
Change the pose and make him big instead of, I don't know. Anyway. Let's move on to the rest of the data mines. Hulk is he's a little better than he was, but he's still not where he should be. All right, so it looks like we're gonna get the new blog posts, memory lane events, Kestrel's event campaign, more of these stuff for the costume, and Royal Soldier month-long event details. And with that said, it looks like the next month-long event character is Union Jack. So that may be another reason if you want to get this character sooner than later. It looks like his free-to-play release method is going to be a very long release method. What do you think about him as the month-long event character? Are you happy that these are returning? I kind of like this break month that we had in March.
I'm indifferent to the month-long events. Like, I don't think that they're overall healthy for the game at all. Like, most people I think do not like them. I have found that you can finish them with moderate engagement. Would you say that's fair? Like, with moderate engagement, typically, I mean, a lot of them were also dependent on whether your alliance was engaged as well. Like, I feel like if you were moderately engaged in actively pursuing the month-long event, as long as you were in alliance with similar interests, you were able to complete it. Like, I feel like I've been able to complete them.
Yeah, my alliance has been pretty active, so I've been able to complete all the month-long milestones events as well. But I do think that they should ease up on that a little, make it a little easier to complete. They usually have some easy events and one hard event. They should eliminate that hard event, especially if it's tied to that month-long milestone. Maybe make it a separate event that's not tied into this. But yeah, I don't like this as a release method. I kind of like March is fine, because if I had skipped it, it wasn't that big of a deal. But I don't like this as a release method for a character, so I'm not excited about Union Jack being in here, especially as a raid character that we need.
I guess what I'm trying to say is the concept of a month-long event does not agree with me at all. But in reality, if I look at the other month-long events that actually have been in the game, it's been fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Like, I've finished them, you know what I mean? But, you know, and I think if you don't finish them, you probably hate them. And that's a fair point of view, right?
Yeah, and having to rely on your alliance mates to finish your own individual goals is problematic. And they I thought they were doing away with that when they removed coordinated assault, but then they brought back another one the first event of this season. So we'll see what they do with this. Hopefully they make it a lot easier or significantly increase the rewards for all this stuff.
I'm calling it now because they've done it twice already and it hasn't affected a lot of players, but I think they're going to implement it to all player base. The leaderboards on Alliance events based off of spending. And I'm calling it now that because they've done it twice already. And it impacted like 100 players total, let's say, right? You know, it didn't affect all, it impacted me, but it didn't affect everyone. But, you know, what if they start coming out with events, or that worked on the Krakens. Let's get these free to play players to buy the battle pass. This next event is going to be an Alliance leaderboard event, and you get points by the number of players in your Alliance that purchase the battle pass.
I think they have some things like that planned, but I hope they're listening to this feedback and the anger of the community or the indifference of the community and would change things like that and start to go in a different direction and make this a little more friendlier game for people that don't want to spend and just want to grind it out and give offers. I hope they change directions, but yeah, I think that's how they initially have a lot of things planned.
I mean, I don't have a problem with leaderboard events, you know, that are, they're not even, they're auctions. Like, you can spend money.
Individual leaderboards are fine.
You know, if player XYZ wants to spend $10,000 this month in Marvel Strike Force, you know, means and availability to that kind of money is all relative. You know, there's always somebody out there that, you know, whether you're a Jeep enthusiast, there's probably somebody out there that has a $1 million Jeep. There's somebody out there willing to do it, right? Yeah. And that's fine. But when it's tied to an Alliance event where my value system is kind of thrown out the window because the Alliance decides together how they want to do it, or it's not even that. It's unsaid. It's usually not even pressure, but it's an unsaid thing. It's like, well, some people want to get the goal, some people don't, and then what? Then, you know, then they're put at odds through an artificially created situation. It's manufactured. It doesn't need to even exist.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is that peer pressure. And even though nobody says anything, like you said, it is kind of
nobody says anything.
I'm looking at these leaderboards. I don't want to be on the bottom of these leaderboards for my Alliance. So yeah, it does create a lot of pressure. All right, last but not least, as far as the data mines, we have one of the events for this next month's leaderboard, and we see some of the big items here is this Steel Dagger, and this is an event that rewards that Steel Dagger. This is Becky the Harbinger of Death and Angel's Army milestones. So you're going to get Death Seed, Bionic Avengers, Teal Mutant Gear, Stat Catalyst, and you can earn points in this. And this is where the hoarding was from collecting Reaper Orb fragments in campaign nodes. So usually these are only select campaign nodes, but you're going to have to spend your campaign energy and earning Blitz credits. And as we know, we earn Blitz credits by grinding out through Blitz. So
That's also a hoarding opportunity, like probably the weekend events you need to save, not collect the milestones.
Yeah, you're right, because they don't use the limit system like we thought they would use it. I don't know what the limit system was made for, but it's not for limiting our hoarding. It's for, I don't know.
Yeah, so there's probably... I mean, I don't know when this event starts, but probably, you know, even the quick rumble blitz that's starting today or whatever, you know, maybe you don't collect those. And then, you know, then the weekend we have those, you know, the Sunday they have the two events. Maybe you don't collect those. And then let's say this event starts on Monday, you collect it then. I don't even know when this event starts.
If we go into the game and look at the memory lane events, this is ending in 8 days. So they wouldn't start the next month-long milestone until after this ends. The next month starts, the first is not this Saturday, the next Saturday. So I think that's the earliest it would be. So I don't think you have to save stuff this week, but you will have to start saving this. You will have to start hoarding all this stuff there.
Well, you know, like, I feel like Marvel Strike Force, you know, like, you know, we make videos and we talk about ways of getting ahead, you know, playing, there's things that I think are good and value that we offer the community by showcasing, you know, characters and teams that you want to put resources into and being efficient with that and learning how to play the teams. Well, it feels like what's more important lately is your ability to not hit the claim all mail button. And you are a better player if your fat fingers don't push that button. Like, you will, you know, because hoarding is a thing in this game, and to be the best Marvel Strike Force player, that actually may be a bigger skill, not pushing that button.
How much can you avoid seeing those? I mean, how much can you see those red dots without claiming that? That's the thing. How much stamina can you have? How much discipline can you have? Not just see all those red dots.
So the only hoarding part that really, first of all the hoarding bothers me. It's not, I don't understand why the game has become that. And I know it's optional, just like playing in the arena is optional, just like playing Cosmic Crew. Everything's optional, right?
Playing all these events is optional, but
it's always optional. But we're talking about min-maxing the game, right? And so yeah. It's not optional if you're incentivized to hoard, right? That behavior is incentivized. The one part that annoys me the most is the Alliance milestones, because it disappears the second that the 2-week period ends. So if you were saving. And then you weren't online the day before or the hour before that, you know, on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. And it's not an announced time. It happens at a random time on a Sunday afternoon for me anyways. Right? Just like, oh, 1 o'clock.
I just usually do it that Saturday. I figure they'll give us like a few days lead time. So if they haven't announced something, I'm good to claim the stuff.
Well, and something that somebody brought it up in my chat, and I've been doing it too now, is that I only save the first 14 because they have raid credits. Yeah. And then at 15 beyond, I collect in advance. That way, if I forget to collect the first 14, it's not that big of a deal. If an event pops up where it says earn raid credits, then I'm good to go.
And you don't have your chat on, so there's no accidental hitting that claim all of the milestones.
Yeah, I don't know. And it feels like... I don't know. And then you just have to know every, you know, the Saturday before the 2-week period is to collect it, I guess. I don't know.
All right. So mobile gamer, with all that said, where are you with Marvel Strike Force right now? Optimistic about the future, pessimistic about the future, kind of wait and see. Where do you fall with the future of Marvel Strike Force right now?
Like the things that I like about Marvel Strike Force is I like building and collecting heroes. I like the loop of collecting resources. I like the grind of getting gold and upgrading. I like the going into Cosmic Crucible or War or even Arena, identifying what my opponent is trying to stop me from doing and then taking the correct team. I like that part of the game. I've always liked that part of the game. I liked it in Galaxy of Heroes. This other stuff about... Is this an auction or is this an event? How do I min-max this event by saving a resource and collecting things on the last day? Blitz has become what is Blitz?
Blitz is what horrible.
Is it?
Blitz is
what
horrible.
Is it?
Why don't they even have events based on Blitz since they get Blitz Sim? It's so stupid.
Yeah, I feel like I every day I log into the game and I engage with the community, and there are certain events that I look at and I struggle to understand them completely. And if I'm struggling, other people are struggling, and knowing that this is intentional is very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, even with all that said, I agree with you 100%. I'm still optimistic. I'm hoping the devs are going to listen and make some changes. I know that, that's probably way too optimistic than they deserve, but I'm hoping that they're listening, because they've listened in the past and made changes in the past. Not everything that we wanted, but I'm kind of optimistic. So where do you think they're going to do something, or this is...
They must have data suggest that this fuels engagement or spending, and I don't think it matters what I think. I mean, I was watching another developer talk about how they address problems, and basically what he said is they don't listen to the community at all until there's a data point that suggests something is wrong. Mm. And then when they've identified that there's something wrong in a data point, then they go to the community and find out what that data point means.
That's how a different dev. I think that's how Scopely does things as well.
Yeah, and it's not that they don't listen. It's just that they have no they're not looking for feedback until there's a problem in the data. And then when there's a problem in the data, then they try to identify, then they go to the community to find out why this is happening. And then they approach it from there. But as far as, you know, like, unless there's some sort of hiccup in their data, they're not going to be interested in what we think. And interestingly enough, there was a developer for Marvel Strike Force who no longer works for Marvel Strike Force, and he basically took a position at another company, and he had his entire LinkedIn profile was dedicated in talking about how other developers are looking at the wrong metrics in the game, and that the only metric that mattered in Marvel Strike Force, and his main takeaway, and I'm summarizing because it was very complicated, but his main takeaway was that logging in every day is the most important thing and the most important number that they look at. And so my guess is that unless that number implodes, they're not going to respond to anything.
Well, hopefully they something in their metrics shift and they take a serious look at how they're running this game.
Yeah, I mean, an engaged player is not going to take a day off because of the 7-day streak, right?
Hopefully can organize something like that everybody bands together and say, Scopely, this is enough. All right, but that is enough for this video. I don't want to hold you. I know you have some stuff to do with your war, so
yeah.
Let's get going. If you haven't already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. Thank you guys for watching. Check me out on social media. Check out some of my other videos. Mobile gamers, links are down below. Ready for that fist bump, brother?
Oof.
All right, here we go. Hulk fist bump, Valley 5 Mobile Gamer out. Have a great day, guys.